Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, completing this week by reading a story that comes from the work of Amy Carmichael. All during this week, I've been telling you a little bit about Amy Carmichael's work in India. She was an Irish missionary who went to India back in the 1890s and died there after 55 years of working for the Lord without taking a single furlough. She wrote about 40 books, and one of her books is a poetry book called Toward Jerusalem. The work is still going on. My husband and I visited there in 1984, and we were just swept away with the beauty of the place, the marvel of seeing about 450 little girls who are being taken care of by older Indian women, most of them single women. And at present, there are no foreigners working there at all anymore. It is entirely run by Indians. And they put out a beautiful prayer letter several times a year. It's called Dust of Gold. But I do want those of you who are familiar with Amy Carmichael's books to realize that her work goes on most wonderfully. One of the retired missionaries by the name of Olive Fuller, who lives in Toronto, tells this story about one of her visits not too many years ago back to India. Traveling on an Indian Airlines pass, I visited friends in several places north of Tamil Nadu and was returning to Donavur via Trivandrum. But news of the devastation caused by the cyclone in most of the state, and especially that area, forced me to terminate air travel in Madurai and go on from there by bus. No sooner was that decided than the possibility of a bus strike made me pray again and reconsider. In the end, it seemed best to travel by express train from Madras to Tuticorin, where village center staff were to meet me before I proceeded to Donavur on the same day. God was in that upset of plans. In Donavur, they were inquiring in every possible direction for a plastic surgeon who could operate on little Satya, aged 11 months. She was urgently in need of surgery on a hare lip and cleft palate before her upper teeth erupted. She already had two lower teeth, and any long delay would certainly result in damage to her dentition. Every source Ponalari was in touch with could only promise an indefinite wait. Ponalari, of course, is one of the Indian women who works with the Donavur Fellowship. We prayed, and God arranged the seating reservation on the Tuticorin Express for little Satya's help. But for the cyclone, I would not have been on that train. Opposite me in the same compartment was a young doctor traveling to see a patient on whom he had operated the previous week. His work is in a government hospital in Madras, but every few months he does consultations and surgery in one of the hospitals not far from Donavur, where Ponalari had made inquiries. Because I was in a sari, you know, it's that beautiful Indian dress, he began by asking many questions about the work in Donavur, and was amazed at the account of God's faithfulness, though he himself is a Hindu. In the course of our conversation, it transpired that he was a plastic surgeon. When he heard of Satya, he was extremely interested and said that he would perhaps visit Donavur and meet Ponalari before his return to Madras. All of this took place on the Wednesday. That same week, he phoned to say that he was coming on the following Tuesday. Having seen Satya, he arranged to operate the next day, just 1 week after first knowing about Donavur. Quite breathtaking. What a miraculous answer to prayer. What a wonderful, loving God who can use a cyclone to reroute one of his children in order that a competent plastic surgeon with a kindly heart, could meet Satya's need and be his means of lifting the load of uncertainty. Dr. Satya will return, he says, in 2 to 3 months to operate further on Satya and also on Sobhana, a younger baby with a similar need of surgery, if she is strong enough by then. And there's a footnote. Sobhana remained a very weak baby and has gone to her heavenly home. Olive tells the rest of the story, how good God is. This sequence of events is not yet finished. We continue to give thanks for Dr. S.'s generous and speedy help and pray that God will bless him and his wife. Surely that is an integral part of such a miracle. God does hear and answer prayer. I've been reading poems by Amy Carmichael. Let me read one of my very favorites, which I read on the first day, on Monday, and I want to read it to you again because it has meant so much in my life. Make me thy fuel. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus our spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Another one that has the title, which is the same as the book title, Toward Jerusalem. And this is for parents who may be hesitant about some decisions that their children have made. Their adult children may be planning to be missionaries, and that may seem ridiculous to the parents, or perhaps dangerous and scary. Amy Carmichael understood what that was like when her children made very, very difficult choices, which were going to probably result in suffering, and yet they were the choices that God had given. Here's the poem. O Father, help lest our poor love refuse for our beloved the life that they would choose, and in our fear of loss for them or pain, forget eternal gain. Show us the gain, the golden harvest there for corn of wheat that they have buried here, lest human love defraud them and betray. Teach us, O God, to pray. Teach us to pray, remembering Calvary, for as the master must the servant be. We see their face set toward Jerusalem. Let us not hinder them. Teach us to pray, O thou who didst not spare thine own beloved, lead us on in prayer. Purge from the earthly. Give us love divine, Father like thine. In that third stanza, I'm sure she's referring to the passage in which Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going up to Jerusalem, and he's going to suffer many things at the hands of the high priests, and he's going to be killed. And one of the disciples, who's probably just like you and me, Peter, I can just picture him grabbing the Lord's arm. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but he did say this. He said, Lord, that must never happen to you. And Jesus spoke to him sternly, and he said, get behind me, Satan. You do not think as God thinks. And when parents want to hold their children back from what may be a life of difficulty and pain and suffering, perhaps in a foreign country? Let me read this third stanza for you. Teach us to pray, remembering Calvary. For as the master must the servant be. We see their face set toward Jerusalem. Let us not hinder them.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.